Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today on iPhones, Android, Palm, and BlackBerry for the first time by the Stitcher app for mobile devices and by 1-800-DIAL-DJs. If you need live entertainment for your party, wedding, bar mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, or Philadelphia metro areas, check out 1-800-DIAL-DJs.com or call 1-800-DIAL-DJs for a real good time. So where was I before the commercial? Oh yeah, Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world and home of the Home Shopping Network, and we're so proud, St. Petersburg, Florida. Everybody knows what YouTube is. Viral videos, 10 minutes or less in length, uploaded by everyone from the broadcast networks to your neighbor's cell phone. But contrary to popular belief, it's not the only treasure chest of video entertainment and wonder. Take, for example, Vimeo. It's a YouTube alternative with a cleaner user interface, easy to follow instructions, and it can even accept user-made high-definition videos. Now, I don't purport to know everything that differentiates Vimeo from its competition, which is why I've invited Day Campbell on the show today. She is the Senior Vice President and General Manager of Vimeo, and I'm hoping she can give us all a much clearer idea of Vimeo's potential and how we can all put it to work for us. Day, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Glad to have you. I appreciate your time this afternoon. I kind of suspect that you hate hearing Vimeo and YouTube in the same sentence, but it's just the nature of the market. Maybe you can tell us what sets Vimeo apart.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, YouTube is so big, and they do a lot of great things, and we think they're a great service. We're both online video sharing sites, but we kind of think we're kind of doing something kind of different. I think one of the easiest ways to understand it is that when people go to YouTube, it's a very entertainment-focused experience. You can get TV shows that are online now, and you kind of have a passive experience, and you kind of watch as much as you want. Vimeo is very focused on all the tools and services that people who make video and shoot video need and want. We don't offer any mass distribution of professional content from television shows or movies. Everything on the site is user-generated. And it's very much about a really tight community, really simple ease of use, very, very, very little advertising. On Vimeo, we have no ads over the videos themselves. There's no flash overlays. There's no what they call pre-roll ads or things after the videos. Sort of the content of the video of what our users create is sacred. And so we try to keep the environment as clean and simple as possible for that.
It sounds like YouTube before they figured out how to make money from it.
I think YouTube always was really focused on a lot of celebrity, and it's been very popularity-driven. So on YouTube's homepage, there's oftentimes the most popular videos and what's hot now. And I think from a philosophy perspective, Vimeo tries to focus on curated content. We actually curate two channels. One's called the HG channel, and one is our staff picks channel. And the idea of our curation is to give people a sense of what's possible and to maybe be inspired by what they see and maybe encourage them to go shoot something different or try a new aspect of shooting video. And then after that, it's really about the user who comes in to find people who are like-minded and like the same things, who they might want to connect to. We have this connect option, or subscribe to channels if they're interested, let's say, in time-lapse, that they could subscribe and see new work that comes in. And what we don't show is really what's popular right now or what's hot, you know, in that sense. The number of plays of a video is really not something that is at all highlighted on Vimeo. We think that the video experience and the type of story or interesting content that people want to see is really driven by their own individual interests, and that one size doesn't fit all in that vein.
So why would a user choose to upload video to Vimeo over another site? Or
well,
would they do both?
I think some do both, depending on their needs. I think Vimeo offers a lot of tools and services that aren't offered at most other sites. So we don't have any limits on the length. So people can upload something that's a lot longer. We have some very specific tools and services. We have great privacy settings, and they're very granular, and they offer a lot of different options so that whether it's a parent who wants to upload something and keep it private or have a private channel, or it's a higher-end videographer who wants to only show that video on their personal domain to show their work, they can actually select those options within Vimeo. People can have as many contacts as they want. There aren't limits to how many, you know, videos you can set as private or things like that. And our quality. We have what we consider to be the best quality in playback online. Our player, the user experience is incredibly clean. I think it's for people who maybe want a little bit of a different experience. In addition to that, a lot of people choose Vimeo because the Vimeo community is a respectful community. So Vimeo has focused really hard on making sure that comments that come onto videos for people who share publicly are respectful, that there can be constructive criticism of work if people are looking for feedback on their work, but that they're not attacking, they're supportive, and it's entirely different. And, you know, one of our mottos is sort of from the community team who manages the site, we almost dare people to find a really negative comment on the site because they just don't exist and we just don't have that here. And if people do start to do that, we get alerts from our community to let us know if we don't find them ourselves. And that user is either given a warning, and if it happens again, we take them off the site. We just don't allow it. We use the site, we want a clean community, and we want people who come in to have that kind of experience with it.
Now there's, well, you know, I made a joking reference before to saying that that's what YouTube did before it figured out how to make money, but actually, how does Vimeo profit? I was only kidding about that, but I mean, how does Vimeo profit or plan to profit from the service? I mean, I'm looking at the homepage, which folks, I should give you. It's Vimeo. It's like video with an M where the D goes. It's Vimeo.com. You can go and check it out while we're talking about it.
Do you know where the word Vimeo came from? Because it's a good story.
I don't actually.
It's an anagram for the word movie.
Oh.
So that's a little known fact.
Interesting. No,
interesting, right? So our model, we have the Fred Wilson coined term, the freemium model. So Vimeo offers a basic account, which is free, and it gives everybody 5 megabytes of upload per week. Mm-hmm. I think we're the only site that sort of has the weekly limit, which we just feel is really easy for everybody to understand and track. And we offer high-quality sort of encoding and playback and sharing. So a lot of the functionality is available. And then we have a subscription for $60 a year called Plus, which offers 2 gigabytes of upload per week, a lot of other additional features and functionality and settings and customization and higher-quality playback, HD-level embedding, mobile support, 1080p support. And so we have that, and then the ads only exist on the basic accounts. We actually don't have any advertising on the site for our Plus members who have paid the annual membership who come in.
Mm.
And so our business model is sort of split between the advertising front and the subscription front. And that allows us, I think, also to be more selective about the advertising and the volume of advertising that's on the site.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question that you are not going to want to hear, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I've had Vimeo open on my screen for the last couple hours, you know, anticipating we were going to talk, and I just went to it, and it says logins and signups are temporarily disabled, so I'm not able to log in.
I think it's because your show is so popular. We were just inundated with traffic.
Well, you know what? As soon as I said that, I reloaded, and now it's let me in. So, folks, skip that.
Oh, no.
If you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, just skip over that comment. I am now in. Obviously, the magic of being the all-powerful Mr. Media has gotten us in. do you have? I want to, and the reason I wanted to look at the site with you is I wondered if you had an account yourself on here. And
I do.
If you, and is that something we can? We can.
Yeah, you know, actually, I can tell you. Let me find out what the I don't know what the automatic URL is. If you search for me under people under my name, but hold on, I'll try to give you something really specific so you can go to. Unfortunately, I have a channel, but it's my private channel because I'm a mom. So I actually have only my family on that channel, but I do have several videos that I have shared from different things, whether it's some trips. I have to admit, I'm not the brilliant filmmaker. Many members of our team are. We have a filmmaking core and a filmmaking background within the team. And but no matter if they're advanced like that and can use things like Final Cut Pro or people like me who just have my little Canon PowerShot and shoot videos for fun, all of us use the site all the time. And it's kind of one of our tenets of the team, and also because it helps us understand the product so much better and what we want with it coming from different places and, you know, different backgrounds. And so my profile page is you can just, if you do vimeo.com/day, and I have such a crazy name, D-A-E, Mellencamp, think like John Cougar, so it's M-E-L-L-E-N-C-A-M-P, and John Cougar, way distantly related, and I've never met him.
And you know what? You know what, Day? I just realized that I completely, I don't know why I introduced you as Day Campbell. I'm so sorry.
Oh, not at all. No worries.
I don't know where I got
you
that
You got
from,
the day right, and most people mistake the day for something else. So
that's
it was
funny.
Actually, it was completely fine. No worries.
Okay.
So I'm actually not sure, because when I look at my page, I'm not sure what you can see, because I have some things private and some not.
I see it now. Let's see. Let's see what we can learn about Day.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm not to invade your privacy, literally, but I mean, if we go to Day's
I should
page,
send you to one that people really liked, which was actually kind of fun, and it's a little bit of an older one, because so many of these are just my family. If
well,
you
we'll
scroll
back,
through, there's
yeah,
a great...
We'll go through that. We'll go through that in a second, but I don't want to do this to invade your privacy so much as to say, folks, here's a great example. Here's the general manager of Vimeo. She has a page. Some of it is public, some of it's private. You know, we can see there's a picture of her sailing with I think it's your daughter.
Yeah, it's my daughter.
Okay. The sunglasses and the hair, it was hard to tell. And then she's got 9 videos. She has liked 339 videos. She has contacts. She has groups. She has channels. She has albums. So, you know,
oh, so
what
this
I find
is good. You see 9 videos. I actually have 35 videos uploaded, so it goes to show how many are private versus how many are actually public.
Well, and, you know, I teach a social media for beginners course, and the thing – and it's all parents. And so this is what this interested me. And what they – are always focused on is privacy. How can I make my pictures or videos private? And if I can't, I'm not going to participate in the great social media revolution. And
right.
So that's why I say I'm interested in this. How do you decide what's going to be public and what's going to be private?
Well, sometimes I think some pieces are a little better. I think might be more globally interesting. So I am not a mass social media user generally, I think, because I mean, I'm an internet baby. I've been in the internet for a long time, but I think I'm more of what, you know, in the internet world we'd call, you know, I watch more than I actually am. I'm not Twittering or commenting as often, and I like to read other people's work and, you know, interact, but I don't normally share as much. What I found in Vimeo is one, I think oftentimes for people, you know, like me who are parents and family, trying to share publicly is scary, right? And people wonder what people are going to say, and then you see things on YouTube and they could, you know, all the comments are all over the place. And so when I shared the first time on Vimeo, I was nervous. But I also, you know, knew that, you know, tons of people were doing it. It was quality was all over the map what we curate is very different than what kind of is globally available on the site. And I got them. I got two comments within a day, and I had this wonderful trip. My husband and I took a 10-year anniversary vacation, and there were just some amazing moments that I thought would be interesting to people. There was a brand new plane, a brand new Airbus plane we got to fly on, and very few people had seen it. And I got the most supportive, nice comments. And at that point, that got me sharing, you know, more frequently. I just wait till I think it's something that people might find either funny or interesting. The sort of very personal family moments that I really think nobody would care about other than the grandparents, I leave on my private channel.
Oh,
so it's yeah. Sometimes I think things are funny. Sometimes I think this will bore a community to death if they had to try to watch this 5 minutes from, you know, Christmas.
And so, you know, as you would advise, you know, other parents, would you tell them to make everything private or to be selective?
I think it's purely based on personal preference. I think what I do find is I do leave the bulk. So, as you said, you see nine. I actually have 35 videos uploaded. The bulk of my videos are of my daughter and of my family, and I have them private. But I do find when I have that great moment that I think is interesting or funny, what I have found personally is sharing in Vimeo is just not scary for me anymore. And I'm, you know, obviously pretty public on Vimeo, but I feel safe sharing within this community. And so I think everybody has to do what they feel is right. I think it's really, really easy on Vimeo to make those choices and to make those settings. And, you know, all the tools and services are there that people want anyway. I love my family channel that I created because the grandparents all the grandparents of my daughter live in different parts of the country, and so they're not here to see it, and it's the easiest way that I've found to share, you know, those moments that they can't be there for. But I think it's just a personal preference, and I do think, though, it is really fun to share publicly and to have other people appreciate what, you know, a funny moment or something like that, and to get that comment back and to kind of create that relationship, you know. But for people perhaps like me who maybe are a little more shy to begin with, I need a little more time to warm up, and I need to do it a little more slowly. And I think everybody can do their own pace. Vimeo is about you. It's not about pressuring people to go in any direction or to be anything. It's really individually focused. I've shared more as time has gone on than I shared originally. Not all of them get very many plays, but that's okay. That's not the point.
Well, I got to say that a couple of these guys, I'm looking at your contacts out of curiosity, a couple of these guys look kind of scary. The guy in the hoodie pulled over his eyes, and the guy who's painted a star over his left eye. I don't know if I'd be letting these guys anywhere near pictures of my kids. But
the guy with the hoodie. Now I'm like thinking, who are you mentioning? No, everybody who's on my contacts list has been wonderful and really supportive. I think everybody wants to have their fun picture though of who they are. But you actually bring up a great point. There are pictures of people. I think the guy with the hoodie is one of our developers here. He's fantastic. But
their names
and their people, and most of the time their faces. And I think so when people do comment on a video on Vimeo, you really know who it is and you can respond back, and it actually becomes a very personal relationship. It's actually amazing how many friendships across countries and international, you know, borders and people have actually made through just their use of Vimeo alone, because they can find people with such like interests in all different areas and of the spectrum.
You know, it's funny, up until this year, I have a 13-and-a-half-year-old daughter, and really up until this past year, we either didn't post pictures of her or video, or more likely, we would not identify her by name. And that way, you know, if people we knew looked, they'd go, oh, there she is. She's gotten bigger, she's doing this, she's doing that. And then more recently, we started going ahead and tagging them because she's got her own Facebook account. But there's a whole new issue that's come up, is that she doesn't want to be embarrassed
by
her friend seeing her name. So anyway, it's a whole other issue.
I've had a little bit of that too. A couple of my daughters like, you can't share that with people. I'm embarrassed, and she's only seven.
So it seems like I'm sorry. I before I interrupt you, you wanted to suggest another site within Vimeo to send people to look at to get a sense of what it's all about.
Oh, I don't know if I was going on there. I was just trying. I think you were looking at my videos, and I was thinking, well, what video could you look at that might actually be interesting? There's plenty of places
Twister,
to go, though. I think one of the best places to understand what Vimeo is all about is our two curated channels. So people who go to vimeo.com/HD, this is where you kind of see the best of. This is all the content that is put here. It's curated editorially. So, you know, we have a pretty good-sized community team who spend tons of time on the site looking at things and helping the community. All our community team managers and all our supporters are actually real people with faces and names, and they really work here. They're not made up. They really help. Their AIM IDs are listed, and people can actually instant message somebody for help when they need it, which is kind of, I think, unique. But in this channel, we curate some of the best of really uniquely interesting content, and it's not the kind of content people will see elsewhere. And it's not all super highly produced. We actually try to make it a range of just things that we think people would find interesting across all different types of video, all different types of content from all different types of creators.
I noticed recently that YouTube was also is going to HD or has gone to HD. I don't follow that closely. But are we going to look back on the early years of video online pre-HD as being very quaint and like black and white was to color on television?
You know, I think we will, and I think this whole convergence, you know, convergence people have talked about between computer and TV, and I think with HD and even more so with 1080p, which is HD on a big screen, is really going to change everything. I think between the television companies and their integrations of internet into what they're doing, and they're learning to do it better and more, and then all the cameras that people can buy that are not, you know, for people to buy a camera that can shoot really high-quality video, it's not $10,000 anymore. Some are more expensive. Some you can go all the way down to the flip with HD. I think it's really completely changing the game, and I do think we are going to look back. It's such an inherent part of who we are and usage, and it's becoming ever more so part of everybody's daily life. I didn't think I'd be chronicling my life through video, but I take more video – and not even intentionally, and not just because I work here, than photos now, just because it's so easy and it's become so much easier to manage and to share. So I do think, I think you're absolutely right, and I think from the iPad to your phone to the internet to the TV, it's all going to be this seamless circle of, you know, whether it's your content or other kind of people want to watch. I think it's a really exciting time right now. With video in general.
Has the release of the iPad, that's just a few weeks ago, has that affected Vimeo's plans? It's not at the moment, it's not really a medium for recording video. However, it is intended as a big media player. Has that changed the way you guys look at what you're doing and where you're going with it?
Well, I think yes and no. So I'm lucky enough that I've been able to play with one. I have to say it's definitely a pretty impressive piece of equipment. I was pretty astonished of how well it works and how beautiful video looks on it. We were lucky enough, we launched a player that works on the iPad in January, or was it early February? So we were very fortunate in the sense that we're one of the iPad, quote-unquote, iPad-ready sites, so that people who own an iPad can actually go to Vimeo.com and watch video directly, and it's because we have a way of playing video that is not based on Flash that plays automatically in the iPad. I think the changes, we are now obviously seriously looking at an iPad app as something to develop. But outside of that, I don't think it's changing it otherwise. Since the video does work and it does play, and it actually looks really nice on the iPad itself.
And unrelated question. While we were talking, you know, I'm just monkeying around on the site, and I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan. I was just curious. I typed in the word Springsteen, and up popped two videos that are Springsteen in concert. And so I have to ask you, while you're putting together these sites like the HP site that curated content, what about stuff like this where it may be copyright problems?
So Vimeo, we have a policy for that that we follow very closely. We get mm-hmm. so many videos every day that there is no way for us to go through them as they come in. So we follow what's called the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. We refer to it internally as DMCA.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we're not allowed. We have certain rules of upload, and our rules of upload are very specific, and they're communicated all over the site. So Vimeo requires people to have copyright. We say that in our rules of upload. We also want people who are the creators of the video to be the ones to upload it. And we give a lot more detail on that on our community guidelines page and on our upload page. If there is a copyright complaint that comes in, there's a whole process to follow, and we follow the law, and we pull things down as notifications come in, and they're pulled down, and we go through this process. But we're unable to, given the volume and as a business, to try to guess and to cull through what's coming in to determine the copyright.
Mm.
Anything we catch that doesn't follow our rules, or if there's any people that come in with copyright notifications, we absolutely follow the law for removal.
And it's completely a fluke that I found this. I just was thinking, okay, what am I interested in? And I typed that in, and up popped these videos. So my apologies to Josh.
No, I mean, hopefully there aren't that many.
Yeah. Well, listen, folks, it is incredibly easy to find Vimeo. And like I said, it's spelled like video, but you substitute an M for the D and you're there. Or just remember, it's an anagram for movie. It's Vimeo.com, Vimeo.com. And can people follow Vimeo on Twitter or Facebook, that kind of thing?
Yes, we have. We have Twitter and Facebook. And you can share on Facebook through Vimeo easily as well.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Well, Day, again, I apologize for getting your last name wrong when we started the show. I have no idea what hit me, but I apologize for that. I'm delighted to have had you on, and thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Thank you, Bob.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And folks, for more original interviews with online entrepreneurs and hundreds of other celebrities and media newsmakers, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. And you can now hear Mr. Media while you're on the go with Stitcher Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile application. The latest episode of Mr. Media is always available for you there, no syncing needed and no memory wasted. It's available for your iPhone, your Palm Pre, Android phones, or your BlackBerry. Downloading is easy. Go to stitcher.com or check out the App Store for your individual mobile phone. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media Radio listeners. Go to www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia for your free audiobook. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman or facebook.com/andelman. Thanks so much for listening to us today. I always appreciate when you give a piece of your day and come spend it with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.